You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Chuck, you did it, you crazy son of a bitch. You really did it.
Carry on by Claude Giroux. Giroux holding, gets around in front. Go!
Contingent.
Hey, everybody, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and I think somebody should probably call the police because Chuck Fletcher just robbed the Preds.
I'm Matt Arenik, and like Joe just said, the long wait, boys, is finally over. We have acquired a high-profile defenseman. Can't wait to see what else Chuck has up his sleeve, but I just wanted to say good luck to Myers and Patty, but mainly Myers.
Yep, good luck to the boys, and also a big congrats to Chuck Fletcher for reminding everybody that he's not averse to making any big moves. So I'm sure he's got some more going that are going to happen. And we just made a little acquisition ourselves. JT, my younger brother, stepping in for his first episode in a bit.
Yeah, I signed another one-day contract, so you'll have him just for the night. But I'm glad to be back. Hoping this is a good one.
No, always happy to have you, my friend. Yeah, in reality, it looks like Chuck Fletcher is quite a GM, so good to know. Before we get in, we should mention, obviously, we're all kind of teasing it, but you know, the Flyers did ship out some old faces, brought in a new one, and stop me if you've heard this before, but he's got red hair. Before we get into all that, though, just a quick word from our sponsor. You guys have heard us talk about DraftKings all the time, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how every day can be payday when you enter their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So, fellas, I say we just get right into it. Flyers made a huge, huge, huge deal. This is the biggest deal in terms of bringing in an asset that I can remember since... Man, probably Pronger? Probably? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I mean, we should mention the deal, by the way. It's Ryan Ellis coming to Philadelphia. Flyers ship out Nolan Patrick and Myers to Nashville. Patty is then subsequently just kind of shifted over to Vegas, where he's reunited with Kelly McCrimmon, who used to coach him. And then Vegas sent Cody Glass to Nashville. So that was the deal, but hey, the takeaway is we got Ryan Ellis for a hell of a lot less than I thought it was going to cost. So I'm very happy with the deal. But what do you guys think? Where does this rank in Flyers moves in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years?
I mean, they just got potentially the number one right-hand defenseman, at least on the open market right now, or that was available, if not one of the top three, five right-handed defenseman in the NHL right now. So, I mean, I don't know how you could look at this move as anything other than like a huge win for the team. And I'm not saying that they fleeced Nashville. I'm not saying that, you know, Vegas wound up with a lesser piece in Nolan Patrick, because I think he'll be fine there. And I think Myers will be okay in Nashville as well. So it's not even from that standpoint, but just in terms of a guy that is consistently a 40-plus point defenseman, plays a strong defensive game. He's very strong on the puck as well. And, I mean, the Flyers showcased it in that welcome tweet that they sent out. I mean, he's got an absolute bomb from the point. Yeah. One of the... I think the best way I can describe that slap shot is just, like nasty. It's, like, dirty. It's so heavy and so fast. He just puts so much into it. So, I mean, it's just a huge move for the team, and it's basically after everybody was whining last week when Chuck said, you know, whatever line about we don't necessarily need, the focus just isn't on defense, is about the whole team, or whole team defense or whatever. He goes out and just makes this move, and that's a huge one. So, yeah, I mean, I'm curious what you guys think, obviously, as well.
Yeah, I was, when I saw Mike's text, I like quickly rushed to Twitter because I was so pumped in the fact that that's all we gave up. I mean, obviously they're good pieces. You're talking about a second overall pick who's shown glimpses of what he can become. Obviously, he still has to put it together, but it just makes so much sense from a timing perspective, right? We talked about how Kootz is going to be a UFA, right? He's about to potentially enter the season as a UFA as opposed to not being signed ahead of time. And for someone like him, someone like G, like they want to see that this management group is serious about winning now. And I don't know how else you kind of better show that than, like Mike said, going out and acquiring such a prolific defenseman and a right-handed one nonetheless, which everyone talks about are at a premium. Yeah. You think about Seth Jones. We talked about those trade proposals. Like, what we would have had to give up for Seth Jones, albeit he's somewhat younger, is substantially more, and he probably would have cost at least $2 million more a year.
At minimum, yeah.
At minimum, right? So it's amazing to me how people are still able to find, like, things to complain about. Like, I saw people worrying about his injury history. Like, everyone in hockey gets injured, right? Like, he missed a little bit of time last year. It's nowhere near kind of the conversation we had about Tarasenko. He's a relatively smaller defenseman, but again, who cares? His defensive numbers are amazing. Like, last year we're talking about Myers and how big he is and how, like, much hope we have for him just because of that physical package, but he was brutal defensively. It doesn't matter how big you are. It's a matter of how well you can play the game, and we just acquired someone who, when healthy, is an unbelievable defenseman. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a huge Ellis fan for a while at this point. And I was like super shocked when it happened. Like, the Frank Saravelli tweet was super oddly worded, so I was like, oh, I think we got him. But you know, like, today waking up was even better news too, because I saw a lot of people worried that it was his shoulder that he injured last year, but it turned out to only be a broken knuckle. So it's not like as serious of a body part. Obviously, you don't want to see him getting injured, but like, that's, I'd much rather someone break a knuckle than, you know, tear something in their shoulder or something like that. But yeah, I mean, he's a big time player. That's all I was gonna say.
Yeah, I mean, the knuckle is huge too, because you saw what he was able to do when he came back healthy to end the season with the Preds. He had, it was like 9 points in 15 games down the stretch, and then 4 points in five playoff games or whatever. I forget exactly what the what the breakdown was that Bill Meltzer provided, but he came back playing at a high level, an even higher level. So yeah, I just don't think that should be a concern for people right now.
Yeah, and it's funny to me how, like, people are just like trying to be upset about this. I feel like,
yeah,
I saw someone be like, he doesn't score in the playoffs, and someone's like, he had like 4 points in five games, or like, yeah, not even a point per game. It's like, he's a defenseman. Like, let's remember that.
Yeah,
like, it's just goofy.
It's always, because it always ends up being people trying to justify why they won the trade. Like, mm-hmm. I saw, like, Predators fans, like, oh, we got out of this just in time.
Why?
I'm like, he's a 30-year-old defenseman. And someone drew a great parallel, as people were concerned about he's too old to acquire. They acquired Tiemann when he was 32.
Yeah.
How many good years did we get out of him, right? Like,
yeah.
Up until literally that last year when we shipped him to Chicago was the only year.
He was like 38, 39.
Yeah, and he had blood clots in both legs.
Yeah, and he had blood clots in both legs. And he's, yeah. I've been seeing a lot of comparisons, a lot of lines drawn to the team in an acquisition. And I don't think it's just because he was, you know, just from the Predators. Like Tiemann, he's a compact guy. He's only 5'10". So he's not the biggest guy, but he plays a big game. He's physical. Like Mike said at the top of the show, he's got that rocket of a shot. And you know what? I could give a rip if he scores in the playoffs, as long as he's playing shutdown defense, which he can do. You know, that's fine. I don't care. I'm very, very happy. I'm very excited. And to give up what they gave up is truly remarkable. Because to me, I mean, I think Myers' potential was like a top, what was probably, I don't know, a fourth or third pair defenseman, probably. And that's if everything breaks right. He's probably, you know, a number three or number four. But Patrick, honestly, I mean, yeah, we've seen glimpses, but best case scenario for me, maybe he could be a 3C. I don't know, maybe a high-end 3C where he kind of plays up a little bit. But if that's what you're giving up, it's a bunch of kind of guessing with Patrick. And Myers, I still think, has a lot of runway to kind of figure out his game. But you basically gave up a question mark in Patrick and a number three or number four for a established number two, maybe even quasi-number one defenseman. I'll take that every single day. And he's locked in at $6 million, which is unbelievable. That's a great contract because the cap's not going anywhere. We've talked about it all season, how the cap's not going anywhere. So it was a great deal by Chuck. I'm really impressed.
It's only like what, that's only like 11, 7, 5, maybe 12 tops between your two or between your top pair defensemen.
I think it's 14.
It's 13 because it's 13? 6, 7, 5. You're saying top two, right?
I think Provorov and Ellis. And Provorov isn't making 8.
He's 6.75.
Yeah.
Is that all it was?
Yeah. Bro, there's no way they were going to give him 8. But yeah, so 13 on your top pair is incredible.
And also, one other kind of sneaky thing that I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking, we were definitely going to use spots on Myers and Patrick, weren't we?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that now takes away chips from Ron Francis. He's got much less leverage now than he did before because the Flyers can go to the table and say, okay, you know what? You can take either JVR, Jake, Ghost. You can take a big money contract or you can take a no-name goalie prospect, I guess, if you wanted
Braun
to.
Braun
or Hague. So, like, I mean, obviously, I don't know. They could take Braun or Hague. It's possible. But, I mean, Jake only has 2 years left on that deal. It's not like it's going to be crippling to a team.
I mean, since you're bringing it up, Joe, do you want to kind of?
I was going to say,
yeah.
Let's go. Yeah, excuse me. Let's go ahead and let's take a look at Seattle. Let's talk about some of the players. So obviously, like I mentioned, the Flyers they're trying their best to force Ron Francis's hand and Seattle's hand to take one of these big money contracts. And maybe, you know, we've heard about the Tarasenko deal. What do you guys want to do? You want to do Tarasenko rumor? Because it's kind of tied into Seattle.
Let's get into that because we're coming off the Flyers too.
So was it before or after the Ellis deal you guys started talking? I was all cars on the table. I was Savannah. I was in Savannah and I was about 15 drinks in when this trade happened. So I don't remember a ton, but it was before or after. What was it, Mike?
It was after.
It was after. Yeah. So they make this Ellis deal and then all of a sudden there's more chatter about Tarasenko possibly coming to Philadelphia in another kind of three-team deal. So Ellis, obviously, that was a three-team deal. It's been done before. It doesn't happen a ton in hockey, but, I mean, it happens a lot more in, like, the NBA where there's, like, five teams involved in trades. But it could happen here. So it would be Tarasenko being selected from St. Louis by Seattle, us then trading Robert Hague and a second, right?
No,
or a first?
Trading Jake.
Oh, we would trade Jake pick. Jake and the pick to Seattle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then Seattle takes Hague.
And then Seattle takes Hague, and we get Tarasenko. I mean,
if I see Hague's name pop up tomorrow night, I'm going to be so. I don't know. I can't even. I'm trying to think of like who I would complain about next year on the roster.
Yeah, we'll find someone. Nick Abbott-Kubel is now protected.
NAK is probably the only person I can imagine I'd actually have like a gripe with.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping for a big bounce back from him. So it would be nice.
The cool thing, too, is I imagine when the pick happens, if there's a trade, it'll just all be rattled off at once. Because if I remember correctly, the Islanders trade like Mikhail Grabowski or something like that. Or I forget who it was exactly.
Well, and the Panthers traded both Riley and Marchessault that night, and so, I think they announced both as well.
Yeah, I think it just gets all announced at once, so... Mm-hmm.
But you know, technically, the player freeze doesn't lift until Thursday. So I don't know if that means teams can't make trades with each other, or if you can make only trades with Seattle.
I think you can make trades with Seattle.
Only. Yes, yeah. JT's correct. It's Seattle only, which, I mean, the Flyers would do, so...
Yeah. And I mean, I got to be honest, I was super hot on this rumor a couple nights ago. It seemed when I
How
read
far
it,
of a Tarasenko rabbit hole did you go down?
I went pretty far down. I went even further down the last
Did
couple
you end
of
up in Russia? Did you all the way end up the other side?
No, but I found out the Blues fans call him Vova, which is
Vova.
Apparently a nickname for Vladimir in Russia.
Okay.
So,
something like, I found out Ryan Ellis is the Beard of Destiny, apparently, too.
Yeah.
Have you seen, his beard is tremendous.
It's a great
it is excellent.
But anyway, I don't think that this is as done a deal as we may have thought at first. It sounds like in the wake of that, the news about the Flyers, the Panthers, and the Islanders potentially upped their game a little bit. I think the big thing that the Flyers have is that the 13th overall is probably in play.
Of course.
Which originally they weren't going to lose it in the deal, but even if they do, I'm still fine with it probably. But it now seems like the Blues are also wanting to get onto the trade because, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Why would they be losing? The only team that gains nothing in this scenario. So I've seen it kicked around now that St. Louis will select... St. Louis will select Vince Dunn and
Seattle.
Yeah, sorry. Seattle will select Vince Dunn and they'll take Hague from the Flyers and then they'll also get the pick and then the Blues will wind up with Jake Voracek and the Flyers will wind up with Tarasenko. Somehow it, you know, materializes into that three-way trade. That's the updated one that I've been seeing a lot, but I still think the Islanders are in it. Right there with the Flyers, I think that ultimately they'll probably back down and go with like Landeskog. They'll just throw all the money in the world at Landeskog because they Lou Lamoriello is obsessed with him. But yeah, I mean, so how's this like? Are we fine? Are they doing a televised thing tomorrow night? Because the pitch,
yeah,
ESPN 2.
Yeah, so.
So maybe Stephen A. Smith will come on and talk hockey for us,
Matt. what do you
ESPN.
Think? Yeah,
that's huge. Actually, I think Kevin Weeks is going to be a part of it. Kevin Weeks is former NHL Network alumni is now.
What
but
do
anyway.
You guys think the odds are that I get to see it on TV at PJ's tomorrow? 1 to 10. What are the or what do you think? 20% chance.
If it's only ESPN 2,
I would give it a 50-50 chance.
50-50. I like you, JT.
Just ask
that pull
to the
there.
Manager. It's all you got to do.
Yeah, huge.
Ah, well, I got to get my Karen wig out of the car and put it on.
I get your what do they call them? Bob, the bob cut.
The
I don't know.
So wait, whatever. So if the during the show tomorrow, JT, you think that they'll announce the trade?
Yeah.
When the pick's taken? Okay.
Because
that's what they do with Vegas, and I can't imagine that they would want to hold stuff up that much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I was thinking is if they don't announce it then, which would be bad TV. But either way, like if we're as Flyers fans, if they pick Jake, okay. I'll miss Jake. I like Jake, but that's 8.25 off the books. Even if we don't necessarily know the trade is coming, that's still 8.25 to go and throw at someone else. If they take Hague, like at that moment, what? We're like, yeah, that's it, right? The trade's happening because I can't imagine them just taking Hague if.
I don't know. Dave Haxall's coach.
I have almost zero faith in the combination of Ron Francis and Dave Haxall.
You don't think he's a good GM?
I think he did a horrible job in with the Canes.
He drafted like their whole back end, didn't he?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure.
I think he did. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he did, and then he only left because Dundon or not Dundon. What are the name for
Did
the
you hear
owner?
Me kiss? Did everybody hear me kiss there?
He couldn't get along with the Carolina owner, who sounds, from all accounts, to be a very prickly gentleman. So I'm pretty sure he drafted their whole back end, like Justin Falk, those Americans. What's the other Americans? There's an American Slavin.
Slavin Pesci.
I'm pretty sure he drafted a lot of them.
I still don't. I don't know. It might also be that him and Rutherford's like time there kind of overlap in my mind too, because Rutherford before he went to Pittsburgh was there and he didn't. In my mind, those two tried to ride Cam Ward longer than they should have because he was not the goalie that they thought he was. You know, I don't have a whole lot of like excitement with those two. Dave Tippett being there, I think, is decent, but I don't know.
What's Dave Tippett's role?
I think he's like advisor or like hockey ops or something, if I'm not mistaken.
I guess that's a better job than, it's more sustainable of a job than.
Yeah, he's like high up.
I just can't imagine seeing Dave Haxtell walk into your office with that goatee and just being like, yeah, this is the guy.
They have a goatee now?
Yeah. Oh. You see, if you look on like Seattle and they posted it, it was like this blonde goatee.
Excuse me, I'll be looking right now.
What yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it was.
No way.
Let me see.
It looks like the dude, in a superhero movie where like some guy gets like kind of pushed around in the very beginning and becomes the villain, and he grows out some terrible facial hair.
It looks like to me he's like, man, I miss Ron Hextall. I have to have something similar to what Ronnie had
to remind me of.
Yeah. Wow, he looks horrible. He looks really skinny too.
Yeah, he looks gaunt. Why are we getting into a discussion about Dave Haxtell's health?
Because it's not real Dave Haxtell. It's Bizarro World Dave Haxtell, where he's not going to take Hague and he's going to take Voracek.
Yeah, he's going to win the Coach of the Year.
If I am completely comfortable with losing any of the following for Tarasenko, Jake, JVR, the 13th overall pick, Hague, Braun, I'm okay with losing any of those if it brings me Tarasenko. And if it's one of those and the 13th overall pick, so be it. Because that 13th overall pick, guess what? That guy's not coming for 3 years. And by then, the window could have closed. Who the hell knows? So I am very fine with any of that combination of that deal happening. And especially, honestly, I would lean more towards them taking a JVR or a Jake if one of them is off the books, because I think we can go out and get maybe a 3C if necessary. If you know, they don't think Frost is ready, they can go and get a 3C, or they can get another defenseman, you know, because of how tight the cap is going to be. I think it's very possible you can get a really good player on, you know, a short-term higher kind of money deal where somebody would take like a 1 year, like $4 or $5 million deal. I think it could happen. And it's, you know, in a normal year, that player would probably command 5 years and, you know, $7 million, something like that, something crazy. So I'd be happy with anything happening, getting Tarasenko here. Once you guys brought it up, I was so ecstatic. I've wanted him for a long time. I think he's a fantastic player. And the Flyers have not had a game breaker since probably young Claude Giroux, probably. It was the last time they had
Danny
someone
Briere.
True. Yeah, Danny B was really good.
And I'll temper the expectation. I don't expect him to be a game breaker given the injuries he's had, even if he's dealing. You do?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Did you see
I think he's pissed.
Man, I'll let you finish.
Well, I just meant more or less, like, I'm not saying he can't, like, finish just as well as he probably did before, right? Especially if he's on a line, if it's G, Coots, and him, and you finally have that shoot-first player on almost every line. You can have TK on one line by himself. You can have Farabee on a line by himself. It kind of provides the dynamic that we need for each line. I just don't know if he has, like, the end-to-end kind of in him anymore. At least I'm not saying I shouldn't say
you know what
doesn't have it in him.
Yeah,
I'll just say I'm not expecting it if we do acquire him.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think that I don't know if you guys saw
the Athletic article.
Yeah, the Athletic article about the actual doctor, like Tarasenko's personal doctor.
Mm-mm.
So I mean that's a whole saga too. Apparently he's disgruntled because the team. He got his first two shoulder surgeries through the team doctor.
Right.
And the guy, Tarasenko and his camp basically say the guy botched it, which is a pretty heavy claim to levy against somebody, but that's his claim. And then the team doctor also basically says that too, and says that like after this surgery, he should be feeling no effects of this. He's 100% healthy by my eye. He expects him to be, you know, up to his typical self next year. And apparently the relationship soured because the Blues didn't like hearing that. And they said it was a work ethic issue then with Tarasenko, not the fact that the surgeries were bad. So I don't know if you're going to be seeing him at like the 40 goal pace that he was in the past. But like, I mean, 25 to 30 should be a no-brainer for him. On a line with Coots and G.
Power play will be fantastic.
Shootouts.
I mean, he helps in a lot of areas. And I'm
is
sorry.
Is he on Jake's wall on the power play? Is that his typical position? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I've seen him play like a floater position where he like kind of drifts around.
Put him in the trigger spot. Yeah. Exactly. And I was going to say, Matt, even if he can't bring that 200 foot game anymore, if you put him on a line with Coots, I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, well, it's not going to worry.
That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying that like I'm not on board for acquiring him, because I think like if you put him around those players, he's going to have he's going to bring the dynamic that the team's lacking.
Correct.
I'm just saying I'm not, and I'll be happily disproved if he comes out and he has some of those like highlight real goals that he had during his time in St. Louis. So
yeah, go ahead, JT.
I was going to say he is a lefty, so he could play that opposite wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do think that, Matt, I do agree with you. Like, I'll be happy. Like, I won't be happy. But if comes out this year and he's clearly not his old self, then it's like, okay, you know, expectations were too high. That's on me. But just watching some of his game footage the other night, like, sure, a lot of his goals come from far out, huge rips, like, if the shoulder's not 100%, it's going to be hard to replicate that probably. But a lot of his goals come from in tight and like on power moves coming off the wall, or, you know, bracing himself on a breakaway, or, you know, real tight moves around the crease. If he can maintain that part of his game and his speed's still there, which I don't necessarily see why it wouldn't be. I mean, that's just for me why I think 25 plus is very realistic, even if he's not 100%. But if he's 100%, I mean, all bets are off. Like, in a year where, and again, I don't want to get too excited about this because there's a part of my gut that thinks that the trade's going to go awry or something like that. But if you're getting, you know, St. Louis Tarasenko pre, you know, this latest surgery, I mean, that's 40 goals easy, and you're looking at potentially like another 80, 90 point season from Giroux. Like, I don't know. Flyers just haven't been able to enjoy that that element for a long time. So it's hard not to be excited about it.
No, I agree. I think it'd be tremendous. I think he'd help out in a ton of different areas. So we'll see. The Flyers could get scooped. Somebody could come in. You know, the Islanders have their own kind of problems to worry about with cap, with Beauvillier and a bunch of other stuff. So I'd be kind of surprised if they did it, but I mean, Lou Lamoriello is a shrewd operator, so I guess you can't put anything by him. So we'll see. Do you guys want to kind of – should we touch on any other of the big names? I mean, obviously kind of random, but Carey Price is left exposed. He could technically get taken by Seattle, which would be wild. Braden Holtby is exposed. That's another name out there, which he just signed a pretty big contract with Vancouver. Mark Giordano has been exposed. Yanni Gourde is exposed. Obviously, he could get taken. I mean, if I'm Seattle, I'm taking Yanni Gourde. But, yeah, any other names that really surprise you other than the ones I said, or you want to comment on any of the ones I mentioned?
Only ones I'll add, I mean, Duchesne, in terms of, like, big cap hits and big names, Duchesne, Ryan Johansson, Adam Henrique.
I've always thought Ryan Johansson was extremely overrated.
Yeah, yeah. He's not that great. I'm trying to think of anyone else that stands out.
I mean, Ovechkin was left unprotected, which
is a UFA.
It's a UFA. I know.
Yeah. So it's Lane.
I wanted to see if anybody bid on it.
Yeah. No, that contract is in a drawer in Washington.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, JT.
I mean, the Penguins left some interesting names open, I thought, too. Like, Pedersen's open. As well as Zucker. Is what's his name, Marino? Is he ineligible?
He might not have hit the games limit because
he's pretty new the year. He played like half the year before, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. I was curious. Yeah, and then the Maple Leafs have one of Kerfoot or McCann, I think, get taken.
Yeah,
everyone. That's the craziest part is they trade for McCann and then they just leave him exposed. Like,
yeah, some weird stuff. I think the big one for me is Price. Like, I totally get there's the report. It was, his knee might need surgery, and now it's, his hip might need surgery now, too. Very convenient that all came out as the Canadiens are up against it for both the cap and the expansion. I mean, If I were the who else, like who else is even available for the Canadiens? If I was Seattle, I might just call Montreal on it because, like, Carey Price, how many years does he have left of that contract?
He's got a lot of time.
A lot of time left.
And it's a big hit. It's a lot of money.
10.5.
Yeah, the 10.5 is nuts. But I don't know. It would be funny to see Seattle call them on their bluff and get, you know, instantly the best goalie in the world, or the, you know, one of the best
especially
five goalies in the world.
If their plan is to be close to the cap floor, like, what's stopping them from at least turning around and flipping them? Like, yeah, taking them, retaining whatever they feel comfortable with, and you flip Carey Price at $7 million, at $6 million, at whatever.
I've read something that the NHLPA and like the NHL have gotten together, and they, so like, for instance, somebody threw it out there like, oh, like, what about Montreal trading, you know, they get taken by Seattle. Seattle trades him back to Montreal, retaining half the salary.
You can't do that, but they can turn around and trade players.
Another team.
So they can trade to another team on their salary.
Yeah, because how else would the Flyers get Tarasenko?
True.
Yeah, they just can't do it for purposes of, like, voiding old contracts, basically. Like,
that was the same with Vegas, too.
Yeah, because that's what it amounts to. It's contract restructuring, what the NHL doesn't like doing. So.
Mm. And that's what makes me think, I guess. Think about what happened with Vegas first time around is they just took like every defenseman under the sun because they know that defensemen are at a premium. Like, that's what it makes so much sense for them to take Hague, at least originally, because he's a younger defenseman, regardless if we think and we know he's not good. Like, other people in hockey probably think he is good. So I just expect them to take whatever gives them the most value, and Carey Price is hard to turn down. So
he's hard to turn down, but that's a ton of money, my friends. We shall see. A lot of interesting names out there. Tomorrow cannot get here fast enough. I'm so excited. And then do we just want to kind of end on? I mean, it's always possible the Flyers end up keeping that pick. Maybe they get scooped by another team for Tarasenko, and they don't end up trading it. I just pulled from The Athletic who they might take. I know nothing about the draft class this year. All I heard was Brent Flair say, you know, there's no true superstar. There's just a lot of, you know, pretty good talent in the first round, basically. Obviously, we all heard these rumors about the goalies and stuff, but I think it was from Charlie O'Connor. It was Charlie or Pronman on The Athletic. Fabian, is it Lysel?
Yeah, Lysel.
Lysel. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I'll read the depth of the article, I guess you'd say. The Flyers should use more depth at center in the pipeline, but one thing that they've lacked at the NHL level for quite a while has been true game-breaking speed. Lysel brings that to the table in addition to strong production at the junior level, nearly a full season's worth of experience in the SHL. Flyer scouts have shied away from taking Swedish products in the past, and neither did Chuck Fletcher when he ran the show in Minnesota. And in fact, that Lysel shows high effort defensively, a Philly scouting department that tends to pry towards two-way acumen shouldn't be scared away, even if a stylistic speedster doesn't fit their usual mode. That is bound to be aggressive this summer. Flyers front office doesn't trade number 13 pick before it can be made, which I think all four of us are pretty much in agreement that we want them to trade that pick. So
if they keep it and Jesper Wallstad is there, I don't see any problem with picking.
See a goalie who's a
He's the Swedish goalie. He's 6'3", 214. Nice. He's playing in the SHL already, as I believe he's like 18 playing in that league, which is kind of nutty. You can't go wrong picking you can go wrong picking anybody, but you can't go wrong amassing that level of value that early and then turning around and trading that pick to a team like Los Angeles or Toronto, who are just starved for goaltending prospects. And, you know, given the fact that Wallstedt is already as good as he is, you're maybe looking at like a, I don't know, 5-year window, 3-year window for his progression versus like an 8-year window or whatever you would normally get for a goalie. So I wouldn't
That's
mind
what
that.
Tampa did too. Bishop, they had a very good goalie in Bishop, and then they have Vasilevskiy come out of their prospect pool and is very good. And I didn't even realize this until recently that he was actually part of that Bishop trade, was Eric Chernak coming back.
Mm.
That's how they acquired Eric Chernak. So, I mean, he's a huge piece of the last two cup runs. And
yeah, I mean, God forbid Carter Hart isn't the answer. You always got to have plan B, plan C, yeah. plan D, and part of that is a good prospects pool. But JT, have you been, how's your prospect research been this year?
Stuff is scarce. It's hard to, like, usually I feel like you have, like, a bunch of videos that are, like, 10 minutes. It was, like, one or two on a person of, like, 5 minutes long. So, but yeah, I mean, along with the center depth ideas, what I've seen a lot with the Flyers besides, like, Wallstad. So, I saw Chaz Lucius and, I think Cole Sullinger. I think they're both centers. I know Sullinger is, but they're both odd in the fact that they're shoot first, which is very interesting from the center position, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But they're like, they're not like big, like huge or anything. They're like that mid size of like 5'11", like 6 foot area. So, I think they'd be solid picks, but it's just so hard with the lack of games and yeah, I mean, obviously I would have faith that an NHL scouting staff would do a much better job, but like, if you're just a fan out there watching, trying to like see, this is a type of year where I think if your team makes a pick, don't overreact because there's just so little out there to like really decide. I don't know.
And that's important too, like from Chuck Fletcher and the staff, like there has never been a better year to trade your draft pick than this year. Like, because, you know, let's say the Flyers take a pick and it turns out the pick they get is a great dude, great player, turns out to have a great NHL career. That's great. That's what you want. Let's say though they pass on it and they trade it and they, you know, are able to bring in a guy like Tarasenko by doing that, or bringing in, you know, a number four defenseman or something, or a high end 3C. Let's say they're able to do that with it, and then maybe some players wind up being good from this draft, and Flyers fans are like, damn, like it would have been nice to get a player from this draft or from that draft, but you can't, you know, knock the fact that they walked away from that summer with Ellis, Tarasenko, and maybe another piece. Like that should really be it, like the viewpoint from Chuck Fletcher. Like there really is no downside to trading this pick this year.
I will say this, with it being like the COVID year, it reminds me a bit of like a few years ago when the Sixers made that horrible Michael Bridges trade and they brought in the first round pick along with Zaire Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That pick was a huge question mark because it was like the year where restructuring with how first round picks work. So it wasn't as valuable. So I'm interested to know what the actual value of this first round pick is versus like, you know, an average year.
Yeah. It's tough to say because, like you said, JT, there's no tape, right? So, I mean, you can go – I guess you could – I mean, as a salesperson, you could sell it either way. You could say, listen, you know, there's tremendous value in this pick because, you know, there's not enough tape. So this could be – you could get a, you know, someone who should be like a top five player at 13 just because there wasn't enough tape on them. This is a great value. Or you could look at it from the other perspective and just be like, you know – there wasn't enough tape at all. Yeah. I mean, this is a trash pick even at 13. You know, all the best players are going to be top five only. So who knows?
I think regardless, there's going to be people looking for other first round picks just because that's what happens. You know what I mean? Like no one's ever going to be like, no, I don't want this first round pick. But like,
I mean, even Arizona, like they're trying to trade like Garland. Like there's so many different teams right now that are trying to get rid of cap. And
yeah, I saw Arizona
jumpstart the rebuild that. Offering a 13th overall pick in this draft year where everyone's board's probably so much different, I feel like there'll be so, like, at least, let's say, like, call it half of the teams will be viewing it as glass half full. So.
Me, Sam Reinhart for the 13th overall pick.
I do that. I do that deal.
I was going to say that, but they apparently want like an NHL-ready prospect.
Yeah.
Who I don't know who that'd be.
Frost
for Reinhart.
Maybe Zamola?
The only issue
but I don't know if they have the value to get Sam Reinhart.
You'd also have to lose, I guess, if you lost Jake. I don't know.
We'll see. There's a lot of time left here for them to make other deals, but I mean, tomorrow is the big day, so we will see. We'll be tweeting from the account, I'm sure, if there's anything that happens. Everybody tune in. ESPN2. I'm excited, man. This is the most excited I've been since the Flyers lucked into the Nolan Patrick sweepstakes. So I'm just hoping this has a better ending, and I think it will. Like I said, very impressed by Chuck. Trade that pick, my friend. Get rid of it and bring Tarasenko here. And whew, that's one spicy offseason. I don't know about you guys, but that's I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Any last thoughts, gentlemen, before we end the pod here?
Take us home, Joe.
All right. Well, for Mike, for Matt, for JT, for myself, hope you all have a safe and fun weekend coming up. Take care of yourselves and each other. See you, everybody.